The words of grace and peace to you are from the book of Genesis in the 12th chapter, verses 1 through 3. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Your fellow redeemed by the blood of God's own Son. Another book has been published that hopes to bring hope to people in this world. It's written by the sister of a high school boy who died 2 years ago after suffering from heart ailments. And knowing that he was going to die, he tweeted that he had seen angels and he had seen heaven several times before he died, and he now believed in them. His sister's writing this book because she thinks that his experience will bring hope to others. Now, whether or not these visions of angels in heaven were really from God, we don't know. What we can say for certain is that man cannot cope without hope. Back in the 1700s, Alexander Pope wrote, "Hope springs eternal in the human breast. Man never is, but always to be blessed." Now, there is some truth in what Pope wrote. But whatever is true about the poet's words, it is not true that hope springs eternal in the human breast. If that were true, then we wouldn't have people despairing and trusting and running to drugs and cult leaders and suicide and all the other places where they run to escape the misery of this life. Despair is the death of hope. The hope that arises from the human heart is bound to be despairing eventually. Hope is a fragile thing. It's here today, this kind of hope, and then it's gone tomorrow. It's too tied to the material, to the physical, to the way things are in our lives. Without God, man is without hope, as Scripture teaches, but Abraham's hope is the world's hope, is our hope. Hope is a necessity for man. Hope is more necessary than the clothing you're wearing, if you think about it. Now, we all know that there are certain things we hope for every day. We hope the sun might shine this afternoon, perhaps, after we get essential rain. Some of you children hope for certain things under the Christmas tree. Some of us hope that next year at this time we'll have a job. But these kinds of hopes are not for necessary. They're not as necessary as the hope we're talking about. The hope that gives meaning to our lives and makes all of our struggles worthwhile is not merely a wish. It's confidence. Confidence. Firm confidence that springs from a heart that knows things are good when everything looks bad. Adam and Eve had this hope in the beginning. And you say, well, of course, nothing looked bad then. But why do you really think that they got up each morning and had hope that it was going to be a good day? Was it really because they didn't know anything else in the beginning? Was it because they breathed perfect clean air and drank perfect clean water into their perfect bodies? No. That wasn't the source of their necessary hope. They had hope each day because they had a relationship with God that was nothing but good. They knew He'd be there each day, the creator of all of this, who had blessed them with all of these things and with life in a perfect world. They had this hope in the beginning. And then one day, suffering the seduction of Satan, they began to place their confidence in what they saw with their eyes rather than what they heard from God. And suddenly they were on the wrong side of God. They were separated from Him by sin. And suddenly then, guilt took place of peace. Instead of joy, they had fear. Instead of life, they had death. Spiritual, eternal, physical separation from God. This was the curse of their future now. Paul tells us in Romans 5:12, as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Now every human being who is born into this world has one hope that he or she desperately needs, and that's the hope of salvation. There's no other hope that surpasses it. So what is the source of that hope? Man thinks he himself is the source of his hope, and so he tries all kinds of evasion means to run away from God's commandments and get by with it. He hopes in what he can do that is wicked. He hopes for fun. He hopes for flesh. He hopes for things. Like Adam and Eve, he tries to hide behind the bushes of his own works. He tries to blame others for his wrongdoing. It's always someone else's fault. And he forgets that God, who saw Adam and Eve in their nakedness behind the bushes, sees us every day in the nakedness of our sins. So that evening, Adam and Eve trembled in the Garden of Eden. But then, even as they were trembling, the God, the very God that they had sinned against, became the source of their hope when he said to the Satan-possessed serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. God became, the very God they'd sinned against, became the source of their hope. He promised that he would take on human flesh and be born of a woman to save mankind from sin, become the hope of their salvation. And it seemed that Eve thought that this man was coming real soon, because when Cain was born, she said, I have gotten a man, the Lord. And Cain was probably the greatest disappointment that any parents have ever had. He became a murderer, not the savior of the world. During the next 1600 years, the world became so wicked that God destroyed it by the worldwide flood. But Noah and his family found grace in the eyes of the Lord, we're told. And they found hope in God's promised Savior, because God spared mankind because he'd made that promise in the garden. When they got off the ark, God told them to multiply and spread over the earth. But just 200 years later, mankind thought that their hope lay once again not in God's word, not in God, but in their own achievements, their own thinking, their own works. And so, contrary to what God told them, they said, we want to stay together. We don't want to be scattered over the face of the earth. Let's build a tower that will reach to heaven, and we'll make a name for ourselves. And so God came down and confused their speech, and he put a stop to it all. Nearly 200 years more passed by, and God revealed himself to a man called Abram. Abram and his family served other gods. Like you and me by nature and all people, they were without God and without hope in the world, as the scripture says. But through his promise to Abram, God alone became the source of Abram's hope of salvation. And what was Abram's hope? People can read these verses of our text, and the ones on each side, and come away with some funny ideas. What was Abram's hope? Was it the material blessings that are promised in the text? He was indeed one of the wealthiest men in his day, eventually, along with Job. But was that his hope? This promise of material blessings? Was his hope that God had said, you'll have many descendants, you'll have a great physical nation from you? Was that Abram's hope? Was his hope this chunk of land that he had not even seen? That land that Israel's still fighting for over there in the Middle East, fighting to retain. Was all of this Abram's hope? No. Not at all. Jesus, the seed of Abraham, told the Jews in his day, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. Abram's hope was Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman who would come from him. But Abram's hope is the world's hope too. Notice what it says at the end of verse 3. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Because of this verse and the promises of God in the Old Testament, Jesus could say to Nicodemus 2,000 years later, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God's own Son, Jesus Christ, who was the hope of Adam and Eve, he was also the hope of Noah, he was the hope of Abram, is the hope of the whole world. But he's also our hope, I hope. Is he? That really depends on whether our faith goes after what it hopes for. As we said in Bible class this morning, faith is a busy and active thing. It's not something dead. If it's real, it goes after what it hopes for, what lies in its future. It doesn't just sit there and say, bless me. It knows it has a struggle ahead. The promises God gave to Abraham were so great that country, relatives, even the inheritance of his father's house were nothing compared to the future that God promised him in this new country. To the ears of the world, this is a really terrible thing, a drastic command that God gives. Leave everything, all this that I've gathered and collected, and all my loved ones. But what the world doesn't understand is that the Lord was not taking anything away from Abraham, not anything that was truly something to be basing your hopes on. God was going to give Abraham far more, make him richer than he could have ever dreamed. So Abram's faith left everything in order to fully lay hold of the glorious hope of salvation that lay in his future. Abraham's call from the Lord here in Genesis 12 is like the call of every single Christian. But we don't often think of it that way, because we are blessed with so much. Our call is a call of separation from all that is fleshly and of this world. And none of us should ever think that faith is just intellectual knowledge about Christ. Everybody at this time of the year, they all know about the baby Jesus. And so they flock to church. And if you don't go to church at Christmas, you're really a bad person, right? Intellectual knowledge, that's not faith, and that's not hope. If it were, just knowing God, then Abraham could have stayed in his own country. God spoke to him. He could say, I know God, I met him. He could stay there and enjoy his father's inheritance and see all of his nieces and nephews and so on like that, and have a wonderful family, be together at Thanksgiving. There was no Thanksgiving. But that's not what happened. Abram left it all. The letter to the New Testament Christians tells us Abram went looking for a city with foundations whose builder is God, and that he desired a better country, a heavenly country. So also we who are the children of Abraham by faith in the same Christ have this same hope, this hope in Christ. We must be therefore those who are also looking steadfastly to the promise of that blessed country that lies ahead of us. It's not behind us. It's not here. It's there. It's ahead. And this call that we've received, like Abraham's, it's the work of our Savior to separate us then throughout this period of our pilgrimage, continually separating us not only from our sins, but also from every single thing, whether it's relatives, friends, family, possessions, everything that would get in the way of us finally receiving that far-off blessed country, that inheritance. You see, God, our Father in heaven, eventually brings every one of his dear children to the point in our lives when everything is gone. I've seen it. I've seen it in the faces of many people I've served over the years. When there's nothing left, nothing in this world except that moment and God. And if God has been in their future because of hope through faith in Jesus Christ, and they die with God in their hearts at that time, then they shall be able to cry out, so will you. In the words of Psalm 42, hope in God. For I shall yet praise him whose presence is my salvation. Amen. Now may this peace of God, which passes all human understanding, guard your hearts and thoughts from every anxiety, because Jesus Christ, God's own Son, is the hope of your salvation. Amen.